Hello and welcome to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls, where two brothers talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. This episode is Season 6, Episode 16, Taint Misbehavin', and it is a commentary-style episode, so we are talking while the episode is playing in the background, so that might be the best way to watch it. I don't know, and I can't decide for you, and honestly, I don't want to make your decisions for you. I want you to make your own decisions. Either way, thank you for listening. I appreciate it so much. Hopefully you haven't turned away already, knowing it's a commentary episode, and know that this is the end of the commentary episodes done in the same room. The next episode that will come out, I'm going to try to do another commentary one because they seem fun and a little more easy, a little more breezy, a little less clinical. Anyway, not important, but that'll be coming out next. Anyway, here is Taint Misbehavin', Season 6, Episode 16, and it's a commentary, so we're talking about the episode as it's happening in the background. I've already said that. Here we go.
Taint Misbehavin'.
Season 6, Episode 16. Just from the title, when I clicked play the first time, I was like, well, we're in for some shit. Because they put taint in the title of this one.
I just recently watched this, and I don't know what the taint's about.
It's because of the guy who has the transmitter on his nuts.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then Sipowicz slams his head down,
yeah.
And he's like, you just pushed it into my taint.
Yes, yes. Very subtle.
It opens up, I mean, the episode opens up with Medavoy trying to get Danny on a timeshare,
mm-hmm.
which, hilarious. Also did the math, in $1999, that'd be about $850
per
individual for that Southampton location.
Wow. Go to the Hamptons, though.
Medavoy's upset that Danny says no.
Medavoy's just upset because he's got nobody that'll do it with him. Yeah. That's how he gets sad. And then Nadine shows up.
Nadine, who is, as we know, his piece of ass, who's we've only seen her under sheets.
In his bed, yeah.
Yeah,
in his
bed. We've only seen her under sheets.
So she shows up. He
forgets her last name.
Just kind of flippantly introduces her to everyone.
She's clearly...
I heard a lot about you is a dig at him.
Ba-bam.
Uh-huh.
Well, Sipowicz doesn't help by making that face. He makes a face like, well, of course you have. He does. He makes that face.
Everyone has.
Everybody knows me. She starts to have a little bit of a bitch fit because clearly...
Kirk, she thinks she's pregnant, too. She's freaking out.
Yeah, I'm
so
I'm
she's
joking.
Being irrational. Okay, she's not throwing a bitch fit. She's just being a woman.
Her hormones.
I wouldn't even say that. Irrationality. Trait.
But Sorensen's like, I want to... Shut up. Sorensen's like, can we just talk about this? And she's storming out.
I had to tell you, that Proud Boys meeting was great.
Gosh.
Nothing like being back in Orange County.
She... He for some odd reason, has to make it a big spectacle where he says everybody's first and last name.
Yeah, like that.
Like,
like, if I was Nadine, I'd be like, yeah, because I just told you my last name in front of everybody. It's not a big surprise.
But she told him in the thing that he's late. She's like, is that your first sex? Do you not know what that means? He's like, stop making me chase you.
I really like this line. He's like, would you stop making me chase you? And then she goes, is that really what looks like I'm doing? I thought that was a good line.
I don't get it.
She's not. She's trying to leave. You're chasing me.
Okay.
That's the way I took it. She's basically going like, I don't want you coming after me. You're doing this. I'm not. But the way she does it is like, does it look like it? Like, I thought it was fucking great.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I was just confused. I was like, what?
Yeah.
But, okay.
Because he's making it. And the way I read it is, like, he's making this whole thing about him.
And she just wants to
and
leave
now. And she's like, and he's like, you're making me chase you. And she's like, no, I'm not making this about you at all.
I'm just trying to get that.
Like, I'm trying, now I just want to leave. I just was, like, coming here to have an adult conversation about it. And it went south because you didn't even remember my name. But I might have your kid.
Well, he,
Or maybe it's not the name thing. You don't even talk about me.
That's true.
To your coworkers who you talk about Andy all the time to me about, mm-hmm. but I might have to have your kid.
Because let's be honest, Andy Sipowicz's mannerisms are more entertaining than Nadine's vagina. So, NYPD Blue Balls, everybody, we're here. I don't even think I said the title of the show.
I don't think we said it for the past three. It's been fantastic.
NYPD Blue Balls.
So
Kyle came
all
up
that
with
means,
it.
All that means is you're just going to have like a little like
I'm gonna have
pre-recorded. Hi, this is Kirk, and what you're about to hear is us being awesome. You can cut that out. That wasn't great.
Yeah, good job. But I love how Andy is like moving the glasses. Like, are we going to talk about this show? I also love this part because it's Danny literally be like, could you just shut the fuck up? Could you leave me the hell alone?
Yeah. I did that a few times to Neff.
You leave me the hell alone.
Oh, there were times with Neff when he would just be like, it was just like, dude, it's like 3:30, bro. Why are you getting so angry?
I got Neff to not talk to me by simply responding to any of his questions because they were not the right answers. You like to fish? No, I don't. Done the conversation. Hey, could you find a ladder? I can only find one that you put on like the side of the house. It's like 16 feet long. Then you figure it out.
Yeah, I've had him do that to me so many times. What is this? Just holding shit in his hands. Throws it at me. All right, fix it. Oh, me and the putt.
Man. Yeah, this is just an awkward conversation because Sipowicz is trying to dig and...
In Danny's defense, Sipowicz isn't reading the room.
No. Well, he is, but he's reading it from his angle, which is this woman's trying to screw you, bro. Give me one day off. It's so funny. Like, this episode especially, it happens so often where you realize how people treat Sipowicz with so much reverence and kid gloves at the same time.
Yeah. You have to be careful with his feelings. But he doesn't give a fuck about yours.
Like, because
gee, sounds like a Republican.
Jesus Christ. Because he'll like right now, after Danny said that, he's like, Martinez Medavoy, you're riding with me, and he just gets up and leaves.
You know that Kirk, that was a fucking Daily Show grade joke.
Yeah, you're just like Jon Stewart.
No. I'm talking Trevor Noah years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a perfect Daily Show joke.
This scene bothered me because there's no spoken dialogue in the audio. You can just tell that Sipowicz is trying to get Kirkendall to try and talk to Danny at some point, and he's hiding it by like picking up random shit on the floor. Like, that's so immaterial to what they're talking about. If you watch, like, he takes her off to the side. He's like, yeah, let's talk about some shit. Hold on. Oh, yeah, Danny. So he said some shit earlier. It was pretty pissed.
But then they're all, like, doing shit weird, though.
And he's like, look at this pile of trash. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
But, like, Medavoy, like, as far as I know, when you're in a crime scene, you don't pick shit up and move it around. Medavoy picks up four or five different objects just to climb into the dumpster. Like, this is like, this whole thing feels like a fucking, like, improv sketch.
How am I going to get into this
that
dumpster?
People have no idea what cops are supposed to do.
Keep in mind, a guy's already in the dumpster.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to get him.
Dumpsters are pretty tiny. I don't need another grown man in there with me searching for evidence. In fact, you would say being in the dumpster is probably the worst thing. Where are you going to put everything?
And then this, he's literally repeating what Danny said to him to himself in a crowded room.
Yeah. Like a lunatic. And then he looks at them like, you guys are crazy, and he faces the wall.
And then Fancy's like, what's up his ass?
Hey, at least Fancy spoke in this episode.
He didn't get any lines this episode. It makes no sense. They run down what they saw basically to Fancy, but it's weird because Sipowicz is like, I'm in control of the mating.
Yeah, he's
for
just
no reason.
He's just being a little dick. Yeah, he's just being a little dick. And then because Medavoy talks about Danny, like Sibwitz has feelings about it. Like, oh, you said his name? Like Voldemort and shit.
You know we're fighting.
Yeah, exactly. How can you even mention that little fucker's name? You know we're fighting.
And then just his body language, because he brings in the dude's ID. And Sibwitz is like, oh, so you found it.
Where'd you find it?
Danny got upset with me because I wouldn't leave him alone, and now I'm gonna be an asshole the rest of the
day. And now when he does a good job, I'm gonna resent him.
And is this the scene? I think this is the scene where everybody in the station house is talking about this drama. It's just drama all over this motherfucker.
Yeah. If this is how a real police station runs, no wonder. That's all I have to say. Like, if this is how most police stations are ran, no wonder.
No wonder, he says. It is pretty great how Kirkendall is like, why does Andy want me to do this shit? Because she's not even, like, saying no.
And it's not even like her and Danny are, like, BFFs.
Like,
it's not like Danny and her have some side relationship that, like she should be a part of. Like, it's just, Sipwit's mind is like, you weren't there for it, so you have an easier way to, like, slip in.
And they openly admit, oh, and Sibwitz is going to be an asshole the rest of the shift today. He's picking up phones instead of John.
And then he's like giving John, like he's mad at John for doing his job.
Yep.
And if John wasn't to answer the phone, he'd give him shit for not answering the phone.
Yeah, he's just a crusty, salty sailor today. And then he has to pretend like he's not talking to him. He's talking to the whole station. So he says it just in front of him, and then he projects it to the rest of the station.
So what I think that was, I think that was a test.
An olive branch?
That was a test to Danny. He said it out loud, and he wanted to see if Danny was going to reciprocate back and have a conversation, and he didn't. So, as he kept explaining it more, he got more and more pissed off, and that's why he was like, Medavoy Martinez, riding with me. Like, let's go.
Let's go get this dude to use the credit card.
Yeah, that's why. I think because he didn't take the olive branch that Sipwitz was trying to get out, because Sipwitz isn't going to apologize.
No, he don't apologize. Uh-uh. Well, he does eventually, but it's like a, hey, sorry, and then a handshake.
No, I think this is actually one of the times Sipwitz really apologizes. Because he straight up says, if I remember correctly, like, I did this with my son and he did it and I don't want to do this again, so I'm gonna butt out.
Yeah.
He doesn't say I'm sorry, but that's his way of being like you gotta figure this out, my bad.
Right now Kirkendall is getting ready to try and breach the Danny wall and figure out what's going on. But she was hiding out in the coffee room. For some reason, instead of talking to him. That was weird.
Yeah, because she's feeling pressure from Andy because he's creating a hostile work environment. all because Danny just told him, hey, can you give me a break for the day? Because I just found out I might be a dad. And instead of you being happy for me, you're like, this bitch is trying to swindle you.
I also love how Danny sees, oh, she's asking how I am. So he's like, I'm good. How are your boys? Because you're a mom. You'll talk about your kids all day. Go for it. So then they start talking baseball. I shut down. Because who fucking cares? It's baseball. Whole lot of baseball jargon.
Baseball's in a lockout right now.
Aren't they? Isn't it off season? Anyway?
Yeah, but the players have locked out and they're refusing to play.
Why? Not paid enough?
It's actually better pay for the guys that are in, like, the minor leagues and, like, mid-level.
Oh. This dude.
We can talk about it later. There's a big epidemic of, like, minor league baseball players who, like, are living out of their cars and shit and don't make enough money to, like, just live. But anyways, yeah, sorry. Something different.
Some injustice in the baseball community. So this is Ted, my favorite character of the episode. I honestly feel like the episode could have been called Ted.
He's the best.
He's a great actor for being this dumbass.
He's in, again, I always reference it, but it's David Milch. He's in Deadwood.
Yeah,
he's in Deadwood. And he plays a pastor. He plays a pastor that ends up like catching like the plague, I think, or having seizures and strokes and dying or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking great. He's a really, really good character.
I looked him up because I have not seen Deadwood, but I know I saw his face. He is also in the film Mud. He's also in the movie The Blind Side.
Yes, he's the coach.
That's right. Sandra Bullock saves a black child.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also in Needful Things, a movie I thought would be good that was absolute trash. But he's fantastic in this. What's his actual name, the actor's name? Ray McKinnon.
Yeah.
Ray McKinnon. He basically, he explains, he was so hoodwinked. He's such a dumbass. He took a dumpster to a random place and was told, use this credit card as payment. And then they're like, there was a dead guy in that dumpster. And he's like, oh, wow. Like, he's like.
Well, that's why he was picked.
Because he's a complete dumbass. Yeah,
that's why he was picked.
A lot of great dialogue between Sipowicz and him, because it's just Sipowicz getting more and more frustrated at how dumb this man is. And Kyle is charging his phone. Okay. He's saying that the guy who did this is Richie Vaughn, his boss. Richie Vaughn is the gentleman who told him to move the dumpster and who and gave him the card and said to use it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the dude's good.
The dude, you're just. Hey, we're just enjoying his.
No, he's. I don't. I mean, I don't know what else, like. You can. It's really funny how like you can tell good actors from like not so good. You know what I mean? Like on TV shows,
mm-hmm.
Like you can tell like, oh, that guy can go on and do more. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Just that from, guy
like,
got it.
Yeah, like I don't know.
It's also like because it's such a stupid thing to say out loud, but like.
Because if that guy acted like that all the time, he wouldn't be an actor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He
like
also
he's choosing to do that, and like that's coming from something he knows. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I was like, what I was thinking was because the only thing I ever saw him in was The Blind Side, and I see him in this, and it is such a completely different person that I don't even see him as that Blind Side character, and I haven't seen him in Deadwood. But if he plays a preacher, I doubt he's that dumb.
Well, it was like a preacher in like the 1500s or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, dude, it's like, he's so fucking good in that show.
What we see here in this room, wow, what we see with this fancy rundown, the owner of the building, a guy named Rooster, and he's over at Atlantic City. And they can't get a hold of him, so they find that suspicious. And Sipowicz is basically saying this guy was completely framed for this murder. He's a complete moron, so he doesn't even realize how good it is for him. And then Fancy's like, well, we got to wire the guy up. And even Medavoy's like, we're going to really have to work with him on it because he's kind of an idiot.
Isn't it funny now, like, after you've watched... like, The Wire, mm-hmm. and you see the, like, extent that they had to go through to get a wire, and in NYPD Blue, they're just like, yeah, we're gonna wire them up, and then the next scene, they have, like, a wire set up, and they're good to go.
Well, fucking two episodes ago, Raphael's Inferno, they have a conversation where it's like, well, we can get a warrant based on what we know, and he's like, or we can get it afterwards. So they just go and break into that dude's room, and they're like, we got it.
Yeah. No, Matt. And then here's Andy just adding to the hostile work environment because he has to know his business. You couldn't do this shit now.
You couldn't do this shit now.
Fancy would have to call. Like, we'd spend 30 minutes on the episode. Fancy would have to call Andy in and then tell me send him to HR.
Well, I also love how... He's like, well, I mean, we could give him a wire. Let's wire him up. And Medavoy's like, we're going to have to really go over it with this guy. And he says, hey, Andy, do you want to work with the guy for the wire? And he goes, no. and just sits down.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not going to do my job today.
No, this is my idea, and I was like 100% like, this was what I think we should do, but I don't want to help you guys. I'm good, thanks.
Now, this scene... I'm not saying they're bad actors. But it was really hard for me to watch this both times. Like, it seemed really hard to gather the very basic information that I'm getting from them just through their words.
It just... So I understood what was happening. Like, he thought... They both thought she couldn't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was told by her doctors she couldn't ever because of something that happened when she was younger or something that just biologically. So they were
raw dogging,
listening to Dancing on the Ceiling, and
okay. I don't understand.
She ends up getting pregnant.
Preggers.
She has like a freak out. She's basically saying like, I'm not trying to trap you or involve you if you don't want to be involved. And then he's like, no, I'm going to be there for my child, like, no matter what. Like, but I don't know what that means for us. That's what I kind of got from it.
It's also him explaining, like, hey, so me at the station house, I was shocked to see you. Because I don't know if you've noticed, Nadine, I see you after the hours of 9 p.m.
And I don't really see you with clothes on.
So... when I saw you suddenly where I work and I keep my entire life separated as I do, I was thrown for a loop.
But before I lose my thought,
yeah.
To go on what you're saying, how you thought they were bad actors.
Yeah.
I just, the reason I didn't care for any of this is because I just never thought that they really liked each other.
It was just fucking.
Well, no, like when this whole conversation, when I left it, I was just like, these are two people who just, it didn't seem like they have any chemistry. Like, it doesn't seem like they have anything in common. They don't care. Like, nothing is, like, fitting for them. So, like, I don't give a shit that she's pregnant with this kid. Like, I just don't think that they don't fit well together.
Yeah, even the end of this conversation was like, and our relationship is a separate thing entirely.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a setup for, we're not going to be together.
Yeah, he's basically, yeah, and, like, I just never felt that they, like, they even, like, there was any chemistry there. Like, even, like, chemistry of, like, being...
friendly.
Co-parents, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have friend chemistry.
No.
Like, they don't even have fucking Monica or Chandler when the chemistry in, like, the first three seasons where they're just, like, really good friends and shit. They don't have any of that shit.
No.
And he has a Buffalo Bills cup.
He opens up, this is showing him opening up to Russell,
yeah,
which is planting the seeds for something that happens later in this season.
Yeah, so he can plant his seeds,
which is
into Russell,
unacceptable. Like, because right now
it's on par with having Barney date Robin.
Thank you. That was stupid as well, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I stopped watching How I Met Your Mother because of that. Is your mouth on the microphone?
It's just like this.
Okay. Because he opens up to her about having kids. As we remember, a long, long time ago, she was at one point going to have children with her husband, Bobby Simone.
Robert.
And they lost the baby. Mm-hmm. And now he's opening up about this new possible baby situation, and she tells him, you should talk to Andy. He really helps people out, just not himself, which is kind of a fun backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
And he leaves.
Saying, like, he can't get his life together, but because of that, he can help you out.
Yeah, basically. This part was great, too. Hey, you want a yogurt? He's like, you think I'm occupied by some strange spirit, you crazy woman? But... what I wanted to say is after this, they cut to Russell in there, and she's staring at kids like, oh, he's having kids. I want kids. I remember I was going to have one.
Yeah, that gets really weird.
She's
like longingly staring at these kids.
But it's seriously like her going, well, he has baby juice. Yeah. Like, that seems like the reason she's into him. Like, he can have kids.
I can clean out that silo.
right here.
Ticket farm.
Sorensen opens up to Sipowicz. And Sipowicz keeps harping on the idea that she's trapping him, which he doesn't believe. And he also says the phrase, shooting through the grease. Don't think I've ever heard that before. And not sure what it means.
She's shooting you through the grease. I don't think she's shooting me through the grease.
Don't know what that means.
She's trying to be slippery.
I'm also wondering if that's the first time we've seen the Buffalo Bills cap. Like, if we just never, it's just never been noticed. But, yeah, it's basically him doing what he did to Andy Jr., which he mentions later.
Mentions it right after this, because I think that comment that Danny hits him with, I think this is Sipowicz learning, and I think he realizes, like, oh, if I keep pushing it this way, I fuck it up.
He didn't speak to me for 2 years. And as we know from that hilarious, don't watch it unless you've seen the entire show because of spoilers, that hilarious Mad TV sketch where Will Sasso plays Sipowicz. I'm cursed. My son. Spoilers. You can't say the rest of it. Oh my God, this fucking scene. I laughed out loud.
It's good, man.
When this scene happens.
That's these types of scenes when they have these random people and that you realize who's a good actor and who isn't.
First time dry shaving my pubes. Next line, he's dumping ? Fantastic writing.
Oh, you just made me nick myself.
It also took me to the second walkthrough to realize he's wearing underwear and then they straight Donald Duck him.
Yeah.
His dick is just waving about in this bathroom right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just hanging brain.
This is to pull his dick out, dude.
Then they're like, hey, have a fake conversation with me.
He goes full on commits method when he's fucking practicing.
He's like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Uh-huh. He's imagining the office door may be closed. It's so good, dude.
And they're walking him through it, and he's so bad.
All while a dude is hooking something up to his dick, dude. What's the best part.
And he washes his hands immediately afterwards, and it's so funny. He's just like, ugh, you got a dirty dick, bro. Your dick and balls need a wash. They have to know this isn't going to work. Right? They have to know. It's so bad.
I mean, they're putting a wire on him.
I don't know. Just the look on his face, I feel like I would know, like, what the fuck's up, dude? Like, come on.
No, but I don't think they and I also don't think the NYPD is in the game of just wiring up civilians to catch murderers. I don't think
all the time
that up.
The alternative location. That's right. He's like, this is kind of pressing in on my balls or something. And he's like, the alternative's up your ass. Like, okay, I'll go with this then.
I really like when he just starts walking back and forth and he's walking like a cowboy. He uses a lot of the pressure.
Bow-legged type of deal. God, so good. Ted, MVP of the episode, really.
Dude, he was great.
They're trying to get Rooster, that's right. Here's the scene where...
And it's oddly lit, too. Nothing is ever really that bright.
You ever watch these kids in the preschool? No, we're too busy working, Diane.
Or are they? Because it always seems like they're at the... It always seems like they're in the coffee room.
Well, it's the women of the women of the department.
Sure.
They're watching the kids, getting the coffee.
Making the chicken pasta.
Making the chicken pasta, as it were.
Diane rolls her eyes at.
Yeah, he's sweet, Sorensen. What? He's a fucking robot that puts paper clips in his pockets. What are you talking about?
He's sweet like a baby.
What are you talking about? What is he sweet about? He's like a Terminator. What are you talking about? So confusing.
He has like no emotions.
We just saw
he came from the future.
By the way, we just saw how he'd react when he finds out he's gonna be a dad. Yeah. We just watched it, so
he reacted like every man.
That's where they compare Ted to Evel Knievel plummeting to the earth.
The way he was walking in is so funny. He was taking those long steps, like trying to be smooth. He was so good, dude.
I didn't check up who Richie Vaughn was. He kind of has a familiar face, but I think I might be confusing him with someone else. It also sucks because, like, while you see them talking to each other, you're like, God, he's so much smarter than you.
Yeah. Like,
it's
yeah.
not going to work.
Yeah, and then, like, so it's not even that threatening, and he just disappears.
He just bounces. And then Metavoy, you want me to run him over, Andy? Oh, my gosh. The frustration on Sipowicz's face. So next level. So we don't understand, Kyle, that this old guy be fucking...
Maybe not anymore.
But when he was a young buck.
Yeah.
When he was young and out there rolling around.
Or maybe, like, why else was you... Because you would call someone Rooster.
I didn't realize that was a sexual thing until the second walk, like, second playthrough. I was just like, okay, Rooster's a name. But then they're like, Rooster in the hen house, Coxman. Okay, I see what we're playing at.
Maybe he's just a sly dude. Maybe he was smooth as shit. I mean, look at that head of hair for that age.
Yeah, I mean...
He's got a full head of white. It's white, but it's full head of hair.
Yeah, but his face looks like a catcher's mitt.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get older, though, dude.
It's probably from eating so much pussy.
Mm-hmm. Ask Michael Douglas.
He got that throat cancer.
Mm-hmm. Catherine Zeta-Jones almost killed him.
Apparently, they literally studied it. Some scientists were studying the effects of eating lots of pussy because of those claims. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is a link. So,
oh, there is?
Apparently, there's a slight one. So, if you want...
Okay, there either is a link or there isn't.
Yeah. There's a link, according to this one article.
What's the slight link?
I didn't read the whole thing. I didn't do my own independent research, Kyle.
Science is a bitch sometimes.
This is just where we find out that Rooster doesn't actually own the building. He's just a front for Richie Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And he had a problem tenant, which happens, you know, it all lines up.
And he was just, yeah, his name was on the paperwork because Richie had problems in other venues.
And it's his son-in-law. Which means Richie's married to his daughter. Based on simple math. And
or what? Oh, yeah. Gay marriage wasn't legal.
Gay marriage wasn't cool then. And then he throws in this little bit of like, oh, he has one tenant he wants to murder. He just throws that on top at the very end.
Well, we're running out of time.
It's like, he's got this one guy he talks about. He wants to murder him. 24/7 complainer.
Yeah, I think we have like 15 minutes left, so I had to finish up.
Oh my gosh, are we about to get to my favorite moment?
Rollerblader! Sorry.
They're a soul skater. Ooh. Ted better hope Andy had a good BM.
Bowel movement?
Very weird. And then he's like, I think Sipowicz is going to beat him regardless. Oh my gosh, and Ted.
But the way he delivers this as an actor and as the character he's in, he delivers it like this was a great idea. like I did this, I did that, bam, bam, like you told me to, like, blah, 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 you know?
I got excited for hopping a turnstile. Can you take care
of it? Yeah.
Welcome back, Numb Nut was also my alternative title. It's so funny.
Sorry it didn't work out.
I was like, are you miffed? He is so upset. And this dude is like, let's get closer to him. What's plan B, Ted? Go away. You're forcing the transmitter into my tank.
Oh.
They're literally like, let's get this man away before he beats you.
I've had to do that a couple of times. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've had to do that a couple of times.
Sometimes things get heated.
See?
At
there
work.
He goes. He's patting his head.
I also love that. He's like, how did it go? Very poorly. Sipowicz gets all the info about Richie Vaughn. Finds out that he really hated the DOA because he was a complainer. And then Sipowicz was like, oh shit, we need to get this wire back on this moron.
Oh, that's a lot of tape, dude.
Strap him back up.
What happened to his hair, though? Like, what?
This next part, if it's the next part I'm thinking of, the next part.
Uh-huh.
Where Sipowicz pretends to be this dude's brother was like, one, you know it was informed by him being actually pissed off about the entire situation. But so hard for the moment he steps out of the vehicle. And now I feel like we're not going to talk, which is just dead.
No, I'm down to talk about it. It's just a good scene. Like,
it's so good.
Yeah. Because that guy's, like, even the guy who plays Richie Vaughn, he does a pretty good job, like, being, like, a pseudo, like, muscle guy.
And when they finally get a load, and Sipowicz just, like, gets in the driver's seat and is just like, you're going to give him money. You kill some guy? You had somebody else do it? And the guy fully admits to it on tape.
The best line is when he says, like, he's like, don't think you're the only guy who's killed somebody, who's committed murder in here or something like that.
I also love when, because at the end, when they agree on an amount, he's like, my bank's over on Fifth. He's like, okay, let's walk.
The guy acts, it's the best part because he comes in and he says something smart. He's like, keep it at a reasonable amount. That's what you told me. And then Sipowicz smacks him, and it's because he wants to hit him.
But then they negotiate, and then fucking Ted tells them what would be the exact middle of their previous offers. He's smacked again. Well, also, Sipowicz makes the line, he's like, my bank's over on Fifth. He's like, let's walk while I go quake in my shoes. And I was like, that's so good. He's also Tony. I never noticed he had a name on that jacket. It also makes me want another one of those flat caps. Got that Sipowicz drip going.
It's definitely like a thing. It definitely fits old, like, Northeast white men for some reason.
It's also great when Sipowicz, anytime Sipowicz is undercover, he puts that hat on.
Always. Always, always, always. Yeah.
Anytime he goes under. I can quake in my boots walking. That's what he said. And then the second they get out of the van, get picked up.
And then the guy talks shit, which I don't think is best, dude.
Ted?
Yeah.
Of course Ted's talking shit. He finally has some power in a situation.
He's talking mad shit. Like, too much shit, though. Like, there's, like, shit you can talk, and then there's, like, too much when you're crossing the line and karma's going to get you, and I think...
Oh, you think Ted's going to get got?
Yeah, he's an idiot. He's going to always get caught up in, like, wrong shit.
And then Nadine comes back, and
so she's crying. So what do we think happens?
It's twins.
Well, wait. She gives birth to DeVito and Schwarzenegger?
If she didn't have scar tissue in her vagina before, she will now, birthing those monsters. But
yeah, DeVito scratches on the way out.
Yeah, she's...
Well, he has emotionally scarred her by, like, shoving in her face.
And then Ted is so excited to get on the landing.
But he's emotionally scarred her by shoving in her face over and over that you were trying to trick me. And so she's, like, thinking that's all he's worried about.
But, yeah, she's saying that she lost the baby. Which... It's kind of fucked up that this entire arc happens in one episode.
Yeah, I feel like it's, like, not very well, like, taken care of.
Like, it should have been at least two.
But didn't that happen with Diane, too?
No, they were, quote-unquote, pregnant for, I think, two or three episodes.
Yeah, that seems about right.
And then she went home.
Because she felt sick one morning.
And
but they hadn't told anybody. You're right.
And then halfway through the episode... Bobby went home and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I lost the baby.
She was in a fetal position.
This was just like, I'm pregnant. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Have a discussion about the pregnancy. Next time we talk, no more baby. And I don't think we see her ever again.
No. You don't.
And she was like, I'll talk to you when I'm ready, which will be never. Never. And then Russell finds it charming that he's not going to be a dad, but he says the phrase, because I remember the phrase, I'd never not be a parent. And she's like, me too. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good enough reason to fuck someone, if you agree on that.
Dad vibes.
God, he looks like... You know who he looks like? He looks like Jake Lloyd in Jingle All the Way.
I was going to say that, or... Episode 1, Phantom Menace.
Yeah, he looks like Jake Lloyd, which is not good because he was 10 at the time, I think.
But think about that. He looks like Jake Lloyd, and Russell's trying to hit that.
She's a Padme. She wants some
So do you think she was, like, lining up to see Star Wars? Like, first day, Russell, Star Wars, that's her? That's her jam?
That's her jam and her jellies. No, the... Then we have this awkward scene... Where, like, Danny's like, I'm outside pacing, and I just wanted to tell you that I'm messed up in the head.
Yeah. And that Nadine thing's done.
It's also, like, there are moments about NYPD Blue that are super cool, and this one is where Sipowicz mentions, like, yeah, when we got pregnant, we were told don't say anything for the first...
90 days.
90 days, and I swore everybody to secrecy within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
When that happened. It was so funny. And then he says, I get confused sometimes. I'm half a head case. And then he mentions one of the things that he didn't want to talk about, but he mentions kind of, is his parents didn't die right away. His mom turned out to be alive, just wasn't around.
Yeah.
And his uncle and aunt lied about it, so he is not interested in talking to them ever again.
So that's why I don't think he lives with them upstate anymore.
My mother was alive 13 years longer than I thought. So basically, he must have found that out and immediately went to the service and was like, fuck all y'all. I'll talk to my sisters, but not none of you.
No, yeah. I mean, he obviously... I mean, they're obviously trying to show you more about him and show you more, like, of what Danny is and what makes him who he is. But it's just, like, it's not compelling.
It's not as... compelling when we would see Sipowicz going through shit, or even Russell.
Or Bobby.
Well, and Bobby was like, yeah. Bobby
even when Medavoy was going through his shit with his wife and fucking Donna. Mm-hmm. That was more compelling, and like in a way, like they acted it better than what he's doing. Like,
yeah, I found her body very compelling. It's a joke. We're sexist. Joking. We're joking.
Cancel him, guys. Let's cancel him.
Hashtag cancel Kirk. No, it's true. Like, I don't know what it is. Is it because like he's so Ken doll-ish? Like, what is the reason? Like, we don't care. I don't know.
It just doesn't grab it.
But we're here at the credits. Anything else about this episode that you just gotta say? You gotta get out.
No, this episode they just tried really hard to make Andy and Sorensen have like a relationship and grow, even though they have like a little tiff in the beginning. I really like the next couple episodes because it builds on a story.
I mean,
so that'll be fun.
Not to get too ahead of it, but there is a very specific thing that happens in the next couple episodes. I'm pretty sure it's not the next episode, but within the next couple episodes, something happens that I was like, I think this is the moment where they started greenlighting the really bad ideas.
Is it the noir thing that they do?
No spoilers, but yeah, basically.
But I still like the storyline.
Yeah, it's very conflicting, but because you're right. Basically, starting now, they're ramping up what's going to be the season 6 cliffhangers and what's going to keep you watching for season 7.
The finale, yeah.
So a lot of stuff's going on. And also, Ted stole it.
Yeah, Ted was great.
Ted stole the whole show. Super funny, entertaining. And
I always felt like his performance would have brought him back somehow. Because sometimes I feel like that happens. Like, guys do well, and then they're like, oh, well, we can write, like...
Joey Pants.
That when the dude from season 2 of The Wire, when he was... Mike Richards? No, his name's not Mike Richards.
The guy from season 2 of The Wire.
He's one of the Greek guys, but he's an informant early on in it.
Oh.
And I forget what his name was.
Yeah.
Fuck. But he had Steve Richards.
Steven Ronald Richards.
Yeah, he's fucking great. Like, I feel like they had these, and I felt like Ted could have been one of those, because kind of like when Mos Def, I don't know if he's had done it or not, but when he would come in randomly and like have... Couple lines, moments. Things here and there, and how he annoyed Sipowicz. I thought that Ted guy could have been like that.
They also had, I forgot his name. There was a black character, and I can't remember his name, where he happened to be involved with another crime like a couple weeks down the road. And they're all like, oh, surprise, you were involved with this too. And he's like, and I got information this time too. And then was like talking about Price before he even like started talking. I can't remember who it was. But yeah,
I know what you're saying. I just can't put a face to it.
It does feel like if someone does a good enough job, they come back. But I don't remember ever seeing Ted again, which is kind of a bummer.
But he was good, yeah.
Ted was great. That's it.
Yeah.
Talk to you guys later. Thanks again for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. Every episode is available on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, where you find a podcast, that's where it is. If you want to find us online, we're at Asher Bros Pod on Twitter and Asher Brothers Podcast on Instagram. Always posting when new episodes are up there. And we'll talk to you about the show. We love the show. We'll talk to you about the show. If you could, please rate and review the show. That's how it gets seen in the algorithms, and hopefully more people will check out NYPD Blue Balls, and more importantly, check out the best show of all time, NYPD Blue, which is on Hulu currently. But remember, they have the syndication episodes. Some of them have been edited. It's important to make sure that you get the original cuts of those episodes so you know what's actually going on. Those edited ones are good, but they're not as good. If you want to read about the show, there's a couple of books out there. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons from creators and consultants. And Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, which just came out on audiobook. But I believe the Kindle version's only 99 cents. There's tons of blue out there for you. Get on it. Have a good one. Be safe. Peace.